take your Bible this evening and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Tonight will be lesson number 24 in our series on the subject of separation. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I want you to find verse number 10. Verse number 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Once you find 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 10, would you stand with me real quickly? And young people, if you're a guest or not real used to being in church, and now that we're to the time for the preaching of the Word of God, I need you to be quiet, be appropriate, and listen real, real carefully. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting with verse 10. Well, let's go to verse 9, please. Know ye not that in unrighteousness the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. I like that. Such were. That's past tense. That means somebody got saved and God's forgiven them and they've started their new life in Christ Jesus. Again, verse 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I want to point out a couple of things. We'll pray and then you can sit down. In verse number 11, it talked about salvation. And then it talked about the process that is available to us, that of sanctification. We had a lesson when we started the series on separation about sanctification. Sanctification means set apart. And that's a part of what separation is. We set ourselves apart from the things of the world. Then notice it says that all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. And there's a lot of teaching in those verses, but let me explain. The truth of the matter is, once you're saved, you're always saved. And you're not going to lose your salvation. But God says here, he's saying to you that you do have your security of your salvation, but he's also telling you, you shouldn't come under the power of anything but one thing. You come under the power of the Word of God, or you come under the power of the Holy Spirit, or you come under the power of God. If you're going to be a slave to something, be a slave to Jesus. But don't be a slave to those things from which you should separate yourself. Now, let me pray, and then I'll tell you the title of this evening's sermon. Father, bless us and help us. God, my mind is racing so many different directions, and I pray that you would just help me to take the sermon and help it to help somebody. I believe, God, tonight's topic is a very big, big problem among Christians today. Help us, Lord, that we would be warned and that we would be safe and that we would learn to separate in this specific area, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat there. Here the Bible talked about coming under the power of something. I think God is saying, don't you become a captive to the wrong things. Don't become addicted, if you will, to the wrong things. Now, tonight, I'm going to, in our series on separation, I want to talk to you about separation and the internet. And as it would then, I think, pertain to social media here and there throughout the service. Let me ask you a question. Well, I'll make a statement. If you were to study the effects of social media and to some degree the internet, if you were to study the effects of those things on people today, it is very clear there are people who are addicted. They're addicted. Social media, the use of the internet, it eats up. It virtually controls some people's lives. So let me ask, are you under the power of Facebook, I mean, is it something, you know, I think there are people in here, you are more faithfully active on Facebook than you are faithfully active to read your Bible. Now, to me, it would seem that that should be convicting for a Christian.
Yes, sir.
I would think that if you will check, is it your Facebook page? Now, you all forgive me. Sometimes, because I'm not really into all that, I don't always use the right terms, but I know what I'm trying to say, and you'll be able to figure it out. And in the end, if I just knock it in the head, you'll know what's bleeding, and so you'll figure it out. But there are people in here that will go to their Facebook account or whatever that thing is, and they'll look at it, and some of them will look at it 3 and 4 times a day, and 5 times a day, and 6 times a day, and you don't give God that much time even for a moment with your Bible. Are you addicted? But are you under the power of? Does it have control over you? And I believe that there is almost, and I wish I knew a better way to describe this. There is almost among people today a belief that because it's, you can't grab a hold of it, because something's not in your hand, because it's, if you will, inanimate. It's not an object. It's not something solid. Look, you have a relationship with somebody out there somewhere, but because it's distant, that if it's wrong, it's okay. You can't put your hands on it. I'll say this later on. Cyber relationships, they come under the same guidelines as a relationship when you're there with the person physically. I do believe, though, there is a justification in people if there's a bunch of distance somehow between me and that person. What we say, what we do, how we act, it doesn't count. I'm very sorry. It does count.
Yes, sir.
And so, the internet's not bad. If the internet is used scripturally, it can be good. Now, I have to tell you, you know, guns are not bad. People are bad. And guns in the hands of bad people, they do bad things. The internet's not bad, but people are bad. The internet in the hands of bad people, then it will do bad things. We have to face it, and to some of you, this is so obvious, it's incredible, but I'm going to say it for my generation and those older than me. The internet and the social media is a part of our world, and it's here to stay. Now, for some of you, say, that's all I've ever known. It's not all I've ever known. And I remember when the world functioned without it. And not just because of the internet, but the world was a better place back then. And I'm not saying that was all caused by the internet. And there are some tremendous advancements and positives that come from it. So I'm not against it, but I'm against it being misused. And by the way, I'm against us turning ourselves over to something that controls us when we won't even turn ourselves over to the Bible. I think you should practice separation in regard to social media and your behavior and your involvement on the internet. An organization called, well, I'm going to spell it. It's capital NETMUMS, NetMums, I think is how you would say it. They did a survey. In that survey, it included 825 children between the ages of 7 and 16. And then 1,127 adults. So approximately, it looks like we're looking at about a little over 2,000 people were in their survey. This is what they recorded in their survey. It showed that 16.7% of parents allow their children starting at the age 3 to go online. It showed that 42.1% of them, those kids, have seen online pornography. It showed that 1 in 16 had viewed what they call hardcore porn. Now, you may understand all those terms, but to me, it's all hardcore. I don't see that how there could be a difference. It's wrong. It's sin. But that's what they say. 1 in 16, hardcore porn. 1 in 12 have shared messages with others from them with sexual content. 1 in 25 have shared graphic photos of themselves. 25% lie about their age to gain entry to adult sites and to set up accounts. 29% of the parents allow their children to be online with no supervision. 1 in 5 teenage internet users say they have received unsolicited sexual solicitations or advances. 32% of adults believe that Facebook has had a negative effect on our society and it is damaging relationships and people. Now, it's only 32%, and I think Facebook, if it's used right, it could be a wonderful thing. If it's not, it can be sinful. You don't think Facebook's more important than the Bible, do you?
No, sir.
I hope not. Studies show that cyberbullying is actually more prevalent among adults than youth because of social media. And what they're saying is people get on Facebook and they Snapchat and all those places where they're having all their exchanges and they just start tearing each other up, attacking people, just vicious with their words. That's called cyberbullying. You thought that it was a bunch of teenagers that were being mean to each other, but the statistics show that it is happening more among adults than teenagers because of social media. Adults frequently become victims to identity predators. And so you know, it is not just some teenager that can be pulled in to dangerous situations by putting themselves out there on the internet. I would say it probably happens more often to adults and to some degree more often to women because they make themselves available through the internet. The sermon tonight gets real simple. It's called Separation and the Internet. I'm going to give you some areas where I think you need to be careful and I think you need to practice some separation in regard to the Internet, social media, and everything that's connected to it. First of all, I wrote down the word hate. Hate. H-A-T-E. The Bible says in John 13:35, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Folks, you and I, we're not to hate people. We're to hate sin. But the Bible's pretty clear. We're to love one another. We're to love the sinner. Now, we're to hate the sin, but love the sinner. You don't have to go far in studying anything. And I'm talking about the world's opinion of the internet, the world's opinion of social media, and they will tell you, a lot of hate out there. A lot of hate out there. And listen, there's a lot of hate on the internet. There's a lot of hate that is demonstrated in social media. Now, I hope you don't act that way. But let me tell you why I think there is an escalation of hate on the internet and an escalation of hate in social media. It's because of this. If you hate someone and you can do it and you don't have to face your victim in the flesh, it's easy to be mean. It's easy to be hateful. It's easy to feel like I can do this and I can get away with this because I don't have to come face to face with them. But did you know that if you hate someone that lives in California, it's still hate? You say, I'll never make contact with them. I'll never see them. They'll never even really know my name because I'm using an alias while I attack them. Still hate. And who are you out to fool? You dead sure not fooling God. And so, may I suggest that when you participate in social media, when you're on the internet, that you separate yourself from the hateful behavior that has become prominent by the cowards of our world. Say cowards? Oh, yeah. It's easy to be tough with people when you don't have to face them. And that's a coward's way of behaving. Okay, number two. Not only hate, I wrote down the word friendship. Friendship. James chapter 4, verse number 4, it says, "Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God." Now folks, be sure that your social media friends are Christians, and they're acting like it, and talking like it. Even though you may not spend time with some of them physically, wrong friends still influence your way of thinking and your living if you're not with them physically. And through social media, you're not with them physically. I think there are some people that think, well, I'm not with them. They're the wrong kind of person, but I'm not with them physically. But the friendship still exists. And the exchange of words, philosophies, behaviors, and emotions are still taking place through your Facebook account or whatever you use. And so I want to make sure you're to be purer in your relationships online. There are people that have started relationships online that ought to be stopped. Because there are times when we should separate from certain kinds of people. Cyber friendship falls under the same Bible guidelines as would a physical friendship. And I'm talking about where someone could physically be with you. There are some, I believe this, I think there are people sitting in this room that if a friend that you have on Facebook that lives all the way around the world, if they behaved in person the way they behave halfway around the world, you'd say, "Don't talk like that around me." Well, if they're talking like that on the Facebook, still wrong. And I think somehow we have justified misbehaviors in our cyber relationships because we're not with the individual. We're not there personally. You're not to hate, even if it's over the internet. And you're not to have wrong friendships, even if it's the use of the internet. Now, let me go on. Music. I think there should be separation practiced in regard to the internet and social media. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 40, verse 2 and 3, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth." Here's somebody that got saved and their music changed, and that's what's supposed to happen. You get saved and your music will change. Holy music is expected of the Christian by God. Now the internet, if I understand correctly, the internet has become a primary source of music for this generation. Years ago, you could get a record album, I think a 78 or a 45, and those are not guns now. If you go to Goodwill and you go all the way to the back, they've got these big black plastic round things. It kind of looks like a CD on steroids. And you could play music on it. And then, if you go to the junkyard, you could find an old pickup truck with an 8-track tape player. Yeah. And then we went to cassette tapes. And then to CDs. And then an MP3 or a digital way of going about things. And now, of course, the internet, you have access to whatever music you want on the internet. Now, listening to music that pleases God, you're misusing the internet, and you should separate from some, I don't know if they would call them radio stations, the availability of music wherever you're getting it. If it's not the right kind of godly music, then you need to separate on the internet. Amen. So we need to separate from the hate and separate from certain types of friendships. We need to separate from music. Then religion. Religion. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 9 says, "Be not carried away by diverse and strange doctrines." 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1, it speaks of the doctrines of devils. And then I could talk to you for the next 3 hours about how God describes wrong doctrine or those doctrines that are not pure. But the internet, folks, is full of false doctrine. The internet is full of false teachers. The internet is full of false preachers. The internet is full of false so-called churches. And so you want to be real, real careful. Did you know that everything you read about the Bible on the internet is not true? I was just preaching at a conference up in New Jersey. I taught a couple lessons to all the Sunday school teachers. And I said to them, I said, folks, your pastor gives you a Sunday school lesson. You need to follow that Sunday school lesson. And you need to be very careful to ever step outside what's on that lesson. Because there are many of you, when you go to the internet to get information to supplement your lesson, you are drawing from things that are wrong and they're not doctrinally pure, and you're pulling that into a pure lesson. And I told them, most of the scriptural teaching on the internet is not scriptural. Now, I think God uses the internet. I think there's a lot of wonderful teaching on the internet. I think there's a lot of trash on it, too. Shall we mention Jesus? There are a lot of people that mention Jesus. Mention God. Mention church. There are so many people that talk about Jesus that do not even know Him. So, what I'm telling you is, there is an element of religion on the internet that is as false as the day is long. And parents, and those of you that are a little, I gotta tell you something. The new generation are convinced that the internet is the new source of all information and truth. They are convinced of that. We all joke. I have a question. Google it. Is that not what we say? Google it. Well, if you have a question, you better Bible it. You'll find the truth in the Bible. You have no assurance that what you Googled is true. Everything you're taught about Jesus on the internet is not true. Everything you're taught about the church on the internet is true. Matter of fact, there are people that are trying to convince you that you don't even have to go to church anymore. You can do it on the internet. The Bible teaches that the local New Testament church is a called out assembly. Now look, if somebody were sick and they were at home and they listened to a sermon on the internet or watched a sermon on the internet, I understand that. But you cannot replace the New Testament church by watching it when you are physically able to attend it. And the false religious people will phase out the local New Testament church if they can get away with it. And so, I'd be careful. And there's a whole lot to what I just said to you. I could teach for 3 hours on that subject. But you need to be careful. You can't replace the local New Testament church with the internet. Number five. So, I wrote down the word hate, the word friendship, the word music, the word religion. Now I want to talk to you about the word sin. Romans chapter 6, verse number 12 says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it and the lust thereof." The word reign there means to control. Don't let sin control you. Now, we know that there's good on the internet. We know that there is bad on the internet. There are righteous things on the internet, but yet there are many, many sinful things on the internet. And I will tell you, there are far more sinful things on the internet than there are righteous things on the internet. So it's not a 50-50 thing. The world has more influence over the internet than Jesus does. Would you all agree with that? It wouldn't matter if you did or not. But don't let sin from the internet control you. Now, sin is against God. And anything that is sinful in social media, anything that is sinful on the internet, then you need to separate from it. Lust is sin. Whether it be committed while the object is physically in front of you, or if it's cyberlust.
Yes, sir.
There are people in here, you think that if you look at a comic that has nudity in it, because it's not real, it's not sin. It's still sin. Lust is lust, whether you get to touch it or you just dream about touching it. Y'all able to absorb that? It's the truth. And we have a generation that are growing up thinking that because I'm distanced from it, it's not sin. It is still sin. It is still sin. So separate from the sin that's available on the internet. And here's the bad thing. And to this generation, I feel bad for you. Do you know that years and years ago, if somebody wanted pornography, they would have to get in their car. They would have to drive down to an adult bookstore, walk in as people watched them go in, walk out with a bag or a box or whatever they would put it in, and take the chance of humiliation. They'd have to go down and buy a magazine and tell the lady behind the counter, I want that. This is all you have to do today. In church. In school. All you got to do is pop out the phone. You know it. There's some of you did it today. You convinced everybody you were just checking on the day after the election results. So what's happened is the internet has brought abundance of sin to your private fingertips. So, I'm teaching you tonight, you need to practice separation in regard to many things on the internet. Let me move on. Number six, I wrote down the words time-wasting. Time-wasting. I won't take a lot of time for this because I can't get as mean on this one. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, let me tell you something. Do you waste your time and your life away being online and on Facebook? And look, hey, if you want to go on Facebook and it's used as a righteous, clean, wholesome thing, in a minute you'll hear me say this. If you walk away from Facebook and you're encouraging on top side and love Jesus more, I'd keep going. But most of you walk away depressed down in the mully grubs. Y'all know what the mully grubs are. It ought to improve you. But wasting time seems to be really, really big according to even the world's opinion of the internet and Facebook and social media. Now, for instance, I don't think all online games are sinful. Children used to play games like checkers and baseball and cars. And trucks. Now they're just on the internet all the time. Okay. But not all the games on the internet are bad. But I can tell you this. If you're a young person and you're flunking math and all you do is play video games, I think there's an issue there. I think in some cases you need to separate from the internet because of the waste of your life and the waste of your time. And I'm not even talking about bad things on the internet. I'm just talking about wasting time. Just the waste of time. Again, you spend all sorts of time online, but you don't spend any time in your Bible. You spend all sorts of time online, but you don't spend any time on your knees. You can't figure out a way to come to church, but you can figure out a way to stay up till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning playing on the internet. You're too tired to come to church on Sunday morning. Don't you think God sees that? You may need to separate from the internet just for the sake of the misuse of the time. I got to keep moving. Let me go on. Number seven. I wrote down the word, the negativity. The negativity. 1 Peter 1:8 says, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Do you know that, and again, the world says that the internet and social media causes a lot of depression. A lot of depression. Why? Bad reports. Negative attitudes, negative music, negative games, negative news, negative TV, negative reports. And you need to learn to separate yourself from things that hurt your spirit. There are people in here that you are friends with people who are negative all the time. And even some of you, you like it. So you're negative, and if you get with them, the two of you could be negative together, and neither one of you are good for the other. So you walk away from it depressed. You want to leave your husband. You want to leave your wife. You want to leave your parents. Why? Because on social media, you're talking to someone that doesn't like their parents. Could I say you might want to separate from that junk? The negativity is incredible. If the people that you're friends with on Facebook, if they don't make you better Christians, if they don't improve your attitude and spirit, you might need to make a change.
Yes, sir.
I got to move on. Number 8, I wrote down the word entertainment. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore you drink or eat or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, we know the entertainment, there can be some good entertainment on the internet. I'm just sure of that. That's very, very possible. But there's also sinful videos, sinful music, sinful games. And parents, you got to wake up. There's a ton of games that are as nasty as they can be. The way the people are dressed, the way they talk, the music. Sinful reading, sinful hobbies, sinful pictures, sinful role models, movie stars, music stars. And look, the Bible, you know, when it comes to entertainment, God said there's some separation that ought to be practiced in our life. And in our society, because social media and the internet has become so big, then that is where most people get their entertainment. And even, again, I'll go back to the waste of time. There are people in here who you need to balance your checkbook. But you spend so much time on the internet, you don't have time to balance your checkbook. It's just a waste of your life. I want to go on. That's because I got a lot of points. Okay. I wrote down the word gossip. Gossip. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, it says, "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." In other words, someone that is wise, when they talk, it makes you healthier. But it says there's someone, when they talk, it's like somebody stabbing you. Boy, there's some of you, you go to your Facebook, there's a sentence read, and you're going, oh, boy, that hurt. Well, somebody didn't make you healthy, did they? Now, if you'll read your Bible, it'll make you healthy. Now, gossip. Folks, you need to guard your ears. Oh, you need to guard your eyes. You need to watch what you say, which then includes your fingers. When you're using your telephone, when you're using your keyboard. See, it's easy to say things that you shouldn't to people and about people over social media or over email or Twitter. It's easy to say what you want. Why? Because you're not with that person physically. You should say nothing over the internet that you wouldn't say face to face. And some of you say, well, I'd say it face to face. You're just a jerk. That's all you are. You need to control what you are listening to, what you're saying, and what you're reading on the internet. You know, if someone is being criticized or attacked on social media, people like sharks taste the blood and it becomes a feeding frenzy. Well, folks will just jump on them and tear them to shreds. But because it's the internet, you say, okay, it's not so bad. It's just words. God said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God calls it backbiting. So I want you to picture this. Next time you take after someone, tearing them up on social media with words, God pictures you like an animal jumping on someone's back and actually biting the hair off their back. You say, nasty! Oh, it's worse than that. But that's how you ought to see yourself. You're a backbiter. Picture it for a second. When you're going after someone with your words, God said you might as well walk up to people and just start biting on their back. Okay, let's go on. I wrote down the word laziness. Proverbs 25:19 says, "The way of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns." The misuse of the internet is attributing to obesity. You can find articles about it everywhere. Because people just sit around, they don't get out and about, they don't exercise anymore, they just sit there like a bump on a log and look at pictures all day. The misuse of the internet causes people to lose their jobs. It is causing academic failure. There are children that are being unattended and chores and duties that are not being cared for. It's affecting our economy. Bosses will tell you, you can't get a good solid day's work out of an employee because they're constantly doing this. And those of you out in radio land, I'm looking at my cell phone. There are people sitting at their desk, acting like they're working, but they're playing on the internet. So your boss is paying you to play on the internet. Now, is the internet bad? No. People are. I got to hurry. I think I wrote down this as number point 11. Some warnings about what I'd call internet isolation. Psalm 89:1 says, "With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations." Now notice there, it said, "With my mouth I will make known." I think that you and I were to be separated from the world, but we don't isolate from the world. We're to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my Father's house might be full. We're to take the gospel around the world. We're to be soul winners. So we're not to isolate. We are to separate. And there's a difference. When the Bible says, "With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations," it's talking about you and I talking to lost people and giving testimony about Christ. And the word mouth there in the Hebrew language means mouth. You're to virtually use your mouth. There are people that spend all their time. There are people in here, you can't get along with another human being face to face. All your social interaction is through a screen. You need to learn to talk to another human being. They call it social media. It is my opinion, it tends to make you non-social. There are certain things that should not be discussed through a text. And so you all know, and I'm not mad at anybody here. There's certain things I'm just not going to counsel you about through text. And there's certain things I'm not going to counsel you through about an email. Say, what do you want? I want to look right into your eyes and I want you to face me. And I don't mean face me because I'm mean, although I am. And young people, you need to learn to set that phone down and talk. And then, don't resign your job with a text. Don't leave your husband and leave him an email. Come on. How immature. There's an alienation from society because of the internet and social media and texting that is very unhealthy. Folks, humans need to learn to communicate with humans. Let me tell you something. It is so sad to me what some of you will say on Facebook. You shouldn't say anything on Facebook that would hurt the Lord's testimony. Some of the pictures you post, it's sad. Internet addicts are unable to communicate with real live people. Some of you think you're good at relationships because you have a relationship with somebody halfway around the world, but you can't talk to a Christian right here in this church. That's not success. Okay, I'm done, but here's what I'm going to do. I only have 10 more things I'm going to say. But they're going to go fast. They're going to go fast. Listen, I want to make young people, I want you to listen to your preacher for a second. I love you. And I know sometimes I get a little huffy, but I love you. And I'm your friend. I've not said anything tonight that's not true. Now, I'm going to make 10 suggestions, and especially to young people, about your use of social media and the internet. And might not hurt that some of you adults listen. Listen to me carefully. Number one, if you accidentally come across something that's inappropriate on the internet, shut the computer off and go tell an adult. Just go tell them. Number two, know this. Not everything you read online is true. From rumors to homework resources, no one is fact-checking the internet for accuracy. Number three, whatever you post is permanent. Even if you later delete it, images, texts, videos, hey, you better understand something. The minute you send something, most people send it on and save it. Just like that. It can be downloaded, and they take screenshots, and there's some of you, she said, he said, we got rid of it. They didn't. They lied to you. Okay, I hope it scares you. Number four, don't say things online that you wouldn't say to someone's face. The internet somehow encourages rude behavior and virtually a gang-type behavior, and you become what they call a cyber bully. And you like to bully because you don't have to face the music and you don't have to face them personally. Number five, this is just my recommendation. No clicking on the stuff on the sides of the web pages, like ads and offside links. At least don't do it without permission, young people, because it'll take you sometimes someplace you don't want to go. Number six, only chat online with people that you know and that you really trust and that your pastor or your parents would approve of. Number seven, if you get an email or a message from someone that you don't know, I wouldn't write back. I wouldn't click on any of the attachments to the email. You just need to be careful. I don't. If I get something from somebody I don't know, I delete it. I get rid of it. I don't know. I don't open things from people I don't know. You say, why? I'm scared. Number eight. Always ask permission before you start downloading or uploading things. Just let your parents know. And I know for some of you, I'm a little old-fashioned. But if you listen to what I said, some of you young people will not have an issue with the internet. And you know, if you do what I'm telling you, some of you wouldn't lose your telephones and lose your right to use the internet. Because some of your parents will put the clamp on you and say, I'm taking your phone. You're not going to use the internet because of your behavior. If you just do these things, you probably get to keep your phone, and you probably get to use the internet. Number nine, don't write about yourself where anybody can see it. Set privacy settings tightly, and don't give out your name, your age, your school, your address, your birth date. Don't tell people when mom and dad are going to be away from home. Don't turn your life into a public forum. Amen. There are people watching.
Yes, sir.
And number 10, keep your password to yourself and don't share it with anybody but your parents. And if you won't give your parents your password, you shouldn't be on the internet. If you won't give your parents the information they need for your phone, you shouldn't have a phone.
Amen.
Okay. It's called separation in the internet. Very simple truth. Anybody could teach it. But just like we would practice separation in what I'll call the real world, where we make physical contact, that same type of separation ought to be practiced in the cyber world, in the electronic world. But I have this feeling from what I'm seeing, we think because it's in the electronic or the cyber world, then it's not the same. And I say scripturally, it is the same. So stop justifying your wrong on the basis that the wrong's coming to you through a wire. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know I've interjected my personality into the teaching tonight. Forgive that. Push the personality aside and look at the truth, if you would. If my personality has offended you, I apologize. If the truth of the Scripture and the teaching has offended you, I would talk to the Lord about that. So who here tonight would say, "Preacher, it's been a good challenge, it's been a good reminder. I've let God speak to my heart tonight during the lesson." Would you raise your hand and let God see your hand? God bless you. There's some young people in here you need to really, I wish some of you parents, you might want to order this CD and let your kids listen to it and have it around the house. There's some people that need to receive it. You might know somebody that need to get a copy of this. It doesn't get much simpler than what I've taught tonight, but I promise you these are issues among Christians today and their involvement in the internet and social media, separation and the internet. We're going to have a quick altar call. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Guard yourself. Guard yourself, young people. Moms and dads, watch out. I don't necessarily think a child is bad, but I think sometimes a child that is inquisitive find themselves someplace where they should not be, and then the power of lust and passion take over. Says all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be bought under the power of any. Be careful. I really do believe that we are coming under the power of the wrong in social media, under the power of the wrong on the internet. And it's a little controlling. It's possessing people.